Okay, so let's just finish off the last few Rashis, and I want to discuss just a few short ideas about thoughts about concluding Divrei Hayamim. So we're towards the very end of the Rashis. We learned yesterday that Rashi, the end of that long Rashi calculation of 70 years. The reason there was 70 years between, there are two really, from Rashi and the Mitzvot, we get two different versions of the 70 years. There were 70 years from the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash until they actually rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash. They returned. And then there is 70 years from the time of the Golus of Yehoyakim. The first, not the conquest of Yehoyakim. The first time Yehoyakim was in the eighth year of the Malchus of Yehoyakim, when he was taken, not the eighth year, in the second year. Is it the second year? I'm getting confused. So the fourth year? It was the second year of Nebuchadnezzar. It was during the beginning of the time of Yehoyakim, when Yehoyakim was conquered by Nebuchadnezzar. And from that time, there was exactly 70 years until Koresh made his proclamation, giving permission to Klal Yisrael to return and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So those 70 years, whether you learn like the 70 years of actual Churban, actual exile, or 70 years from the time of the loss of control, from the time that Nebuchadnezzar rose to power until Koresh gave permission, corresponded to the 70 years that Klal Yisrael did not observe Shemit and Yovel during the 850 years of the Tkuf of the Bayis, of time they entered Eretz Yisrael until the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi made for us a calculation. We had a chart, went through it. Okay, we'll look at the Gra, and I won't read you through a Gra in a moment, but let's first finish the Rashi. So let me just find the place here at the end of Perek Lamed Vav we were up to. Let's start from Pasuk Chav Beis. Okay, Pasuk Chav Beis, Esruach Koresh Ritzoinoi. It was now the first year of Koresh, Melech Paras, Lichlois Tavar Hashem Efe Yirmiyahu, at the end of the 70 years that were predicted by Yirmiyahu, Heyir Hashem, as Hashem aroused, as Ruach. What does it mean? Ruach Ritzoinai, His will. It's a very interesting word to use to conclude Sefer Divrei Hayamim, because Divrei Hayamim is all about Ruach HaKodesh. Divrei Hayamim, relative to Sefer Shmuel and Sefer Melech, I'm going to discuss this a little bit later, the difference is Nevuah verse Ruach HaKodesh. And here we have another form of Ruach. We can't say that Koresh and Ruach HaKodesh, but it's something which is very interesting. Kadosh Baruch Hu aroused His will, His Ritzoinai, His will, His spirit, this is Rashi's interpretation, to want, to allow Klal Yisrael to return. To some degree, that's also a degree of Ruach HaKodesh, a Holy Spirit. He was fulfilling His mission, what Yeshaya instructed Him to do years before, years ago, to allow Klal Yisrael to return to Eretz Yisrael and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And the goal was, the rebuilding of the Bayis Sheni was meant to be the building of the Bayis Shlishi. It was meant to be transformed ultimately into the Bayis Shlishi and to bring Mashiach, Melech HaMashiach Zerubbabel, would have been Melech HaMashiach, and so on and so forth. That unfortunately did not happen because Klal Yisrael did not take the calling of Ezra to return back to Yerushalayim with a full heart and soul. Vayavar kol, pasuk next words, Vayavar kol kruz, hichriz l'chol b'nei m'malachta, he issued a proclamation to all the Malkus, v'gam b'michtof, and he also put it in writing, shalach l'chol malchus, so he sent to all of his people, Lamar saying, the word michtof is also a very interesting thing to include the last psukim of Divrei Hayom, because going to discuss again soon is the difference between Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Is Navi's main mode of communication is Bekoil, is Nifsef Asayim. It was not necessarily meant to be put in writing. When a Navi spoke to Klal Yisrael, it was secondary that his prophecy would be committed to writing. Whereas Divrei Hayamim, there was no communication in speech. The entire communication of the Ksuvim was Lichatchila, written as a book to be put in writing. Nevuah was said. It just so happens there was someone around with a good memory that took the words of Nevuah and put it in writing. So we have a record. But that's not what the role of the Nevi'im. The Navi was Nifsef Asayim. Ksuvim is writing. is that's a different form of study, different form of communication. And here at the very end of Divrei Hayamim, which is Ksuvim, we have here Ruach, these two concepts, to give them emphasizing what is Divrei Hayamim all about. It's Ruach, the Ruach of Koresh, Melech Paras, Vayavar Kol, the issue of the proclamation, and also it was put in writing. I am king of all of the kings of the world. Hashem commanded me. This was the same thing that the Mitzudas taught us, that Yishai lived no slow base by his Bishlam Shnema Ha'im Lukurish Roy. Hashem said to Kurish, my shepherd, so did Hashem say to his anointed one to Koresh. It's amazing that Yeshai said something, he specified him by name before he was born. Yeshai. Prophecy. So here we are, so it's a very fascinating thing, and he assumed that it was referring to him, which it was. Because Koresh seemingly is the name, a generic name for all of the leaders of Paras. So we have Paro, where Paro was the generic name, the leader of Egypt, so too Koresh was the generic name, and he assumed it was referring to him, which it was. Zo shel Yeshaya, Asher b'Yehuda, Yerushalayim, b'Medinos Yehuda, all the people living in Yerushalayim, which is the Medina of Yehuda, mi b'chem cholamo Hashem, mi b'chem mikol amo, Hashem Elokav Imo V'Yoal. The Kachoya Hachrutz Al Hamedinois Mi B'chol Amo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anyone that is part of the nation of Klal Yisrael Yavo Livno Space So Asher B'Yerushalayim V'Yaal, let him V'Yoal, let him ascend V'Hi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'Ezroi U'Be'Ezroseinu Mi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be to assist him U'Be'Ezroseinu, and assist us. So I don't know why it's saying us. I guess Melech Paras views this as also his the Ezra saying, our assistance. I guess the whole world, he looks at the Beis Hamikdash as Kibesi, Beis Tefilu L'chol Ho'amim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help the entire world through the building of the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, now let's take a look at the Gra. The Gra just quote, the Gra just writes comments on Rashi. Rashi makes this elaborate calculation. We learned that the calculation that was presented here in Divrei Hayamim was, you have a similar calculation in Sefer Yecheskel. It was from Yecheskel I gave you yesterday. Okay, so here Rashi, let's achieve the Gra. Bir HaGran Pasuk Chof Aleph. L'malo Estva Hashem b'fi Yirmiyahu. Ad Ratzis Ha'aretz Eshab Soisecha. Until the earth will be appeased for its Shabbosos, which were violated. The land did not rest for 70 years that it deserved during the 850 years that the Klal Yisrael were there. Kol Yimei Hashama, all the days of its desolation, Shavasa, it will now finally rest. L'maloi Shiv Shana, to fulfill the 70 years. Ayin Perish Rashi, Shekosaf, the Hashar Sisumim. Part of the calculation, Rashi could not, there was not a perfect calculation. Rashi tried to find 390 years until the time of the Golus of the Aseres HaShvatim. From the time they came into Eretz Yisrael until the Golus of the Aseres HaShvatim, Rashi says there were 390 years of sin. And we know that from Yecheskel. Hashem told Yecheskel to lie down on his left side for 390 days to correspond to the 390 years that Klal Yisrael sinned. And then he was told to lie down on his right side for 40 days to correspond to the 40 years that Klal Yisrael sin after the Golus of the Aseres HaShvatim. So the 40 years that we were able to easily calculate, but the 390 years was not so simple. We were able to calculate 111 years during the time of Yimei Shvait HaShvatim, and then we were able to calculate another large number during the time of the Yeravam ben Nevat until the Golus Aseres HaShvatim, but there were still some missing years. And Rashi commented those years Yashar Sesumim Gam Lo Ola B'Yadi Rashi Kiim. Thirdly, that's one problem. So first of all, the Gra right away is attacking Rashi. And what kind of parish are you giving us here that's incomplete? You can't find all the numbers. It's not the derech of Rashi to give a parish that's half-baked. Rashi, when he makes a calculation, everything is on the ball. Furthermore, even after you make the calculation, there's one yovel that's missing. Gamul kilo Allah b'day Rashi chokiyim samachtes shmitin. There was 69. The last yovel we rounded up. It was 36 years. It was 430 years. So there are 36 years, which is 36 years into the last yovel. Why should you just add one more year when you don't have a source what the sin for that particular sin? So Rashi said, so we'll count the last 36 years, we'll round it up as another Yovel cycle, as a sin, due to their sins. Divrei Temahim. The Gra says that's a strange thing to say. It's not enough that they were exiled because of their sin, but they were punished al sheniglu before
on the galus. They were punished that they couldn't keep the
during the gal. I'm sorry. Wait, what were you saying? Yeah,
they're being punished because they're going in galus and they won't be able to keep the eivul. You're putting him as a punishment in galus, and then you're punishing him because it's your fault that you went to galus, so you won't be able to keep the eivul. That's coming up.
I don't understand that. What do you mean?
When you'll be in Galus, yeah, you won't be able to keep your Yovel.
Right.
So the reason you're not keeping your Yovel, so that's a 70th one.
Right.
But why are you not going to be able to keep...
Because you're outside, you don't have a choice.
You're in
Galus
already.
You're in Galus,
so it's your fault that you can't keep the alarm because you're going in Galus.
You don't have power anymore.
Like you're being beaten. Once you're beaten, you're being beaten when you're down. Giving you a final kick in the ass.
It's not, you're not responsible. Once you're in Golis, you're not responsible for not observing the last Yovel. So it's not fair. The im lefi ze yonshu al kol hashmitim v'yovel shebilu b'mei golusam shim shana sheyiglu b'avoynam. Okay, I'm not sure.
You should be punishing them for all the Yovel still today.
Okay, so we should punish since we can't do it. Okay.
It's your fault because you had to go into Galus.
Since we're now in Galus and we cannot observe Yovel and Shemitah today, all of these years, so we should be continuously punished for them as well. So it's not, it doesn't make sense.
No.
Also, they should be punished.
They should be punished
for those 70 years as well, because during those 70 years as well, they're not able to observe seven, or they're not able to observe the Shemitah and Yovel.
Ten
Shemitahs and another Yovel. So it should be another 8 years, another 8 years of punishment. So these are more questions. Okay, so and let's put those two questions aside. The third question, even the calculation Rashi mentions, all we know from Yechezkel, there were 390 years. And Rashi starts figuring out what the 390 years are by calculating different kings from the time of Yeruvim ben Nevat until the Golus of the last of the Malchei Yisrael. It's incorrect. Rashi's numbers don't add up. There were many kings which overlap with their father, like we had yesterday with Yehoyachin overlap. We had it by other kings as well. The kings overlap with their father. Some kings were partially years. And we count the year twice. We count the year, the last year of the previous king and the first year of the new king. But the truth is, it's only one year, and according to Rashi's calculation, it counts as 2 years. That's not fair. Hashem does not punish someone for what he did not do. If it's only going to be considered 1 year, in reality, how can we count the calculate as 2 years? Umasha Omar Rashi Kuf Yud Aleph Shana Shechotu B'mei HaShoftim. When Rashi also makes the calculation that until during Yimei HaShoftim, there was 111 years, and you go to Sefer Shoftim, you go count all the years when they were tsaris, with Eglon and with the Pelishtim and with all those other people. Varboim Shechotu Achrei Golus Hashem At Shechav Yerushalayim Kosher Limtzah Cheshbon. Furthermore, and also the last 40 years calculations also were not 100% on the ball. The Od Kit Serif Rashi Kol Prote Hashanim Kulam Keechad V'Chilkam L'Shmitas. And Rashi takes all the years and he makes one big conglomeration of all the years, and then he takes those years and he divides it by seven. He divides it by Yovel and Shemitah. But the problem is, it's not necessarily true, because there were some cycles where there were cycles where they sinned, let's say during the first 5 years of Shemitah, but then the last 2 years of that cycle they were tzaddikim. A new good king came into power and they were not sinners. So how can you say take just the round number 390 plus 40 to make it 430, and go make just take that whole big number and divide it by 50, and then divide it by 7, and give you 69-70 years, when it's not muchach that there were actually 70 shemitahs and yovlois which were violated, because the numbers are extracted from here and there in different points in time. They were not necessarily shmitas and yovlois that were violated. Many times they sinned, but though the years they sinned did not reach the Shemitah Achas. Upam Shechot, it could be sometimes that they sin Cheshem, 18 years, Gimel Shemitahs, but you could have the other way around as well. You could have 18 years, and 18 years you could have 3 Shemitahs. If you start out the first Shemitah year, and then you go another 14 years, so within 15 years, you could have 3 Shemitahs. Even though normally you need 21 years, but if you start out with a Shemitah, right away, you could have already 3 Shemitahs easily within 18 years, even within 15 years. V'yavruchem gimel Shemitahs, v'gam Yovah, and also Yovah, within 18 years, you could have a Yovah, you could have all 3. So therefore, what he's saying here is he's not favorable of this elaborate interpretation that Rashi gives to make the calculation of Yirmiyah's Nevuah. Now, the problem is the Gruah does not give us an interpretation. The Gruah, he rips it to shreds. We still need to make sense of what it says in the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, that Lamalo is Shivim Shana. All Yirmiyah really said was 70 years. Rashi connects what it says in the Toichacha, Oh, Shav Sored, Shav Soisecha. Rashi connects what it says in the Toichacha to Yirmiyah. How can Rashi take to what it says in the Torah and connect it to Yirmiyah? There was 70 years, Hashem had this calculation, 70 years. The Torah talks about that during the time of Golas there will be rest. He doesn't give a more detailed understanding of the significance of exactly 70 years. And then he concludes something very interesting. I don't know exactly what this means. Ani Nechad Hatsa'ir. Is that true that the Gro was an Einikol of Rashi? Nechad means a grandson, an Einikol. Ani, the young Nechad. The descendant, Yodati, Divrei Ha'oim, I'm well aware, Ki Ein Zeh Perish Rashi, Mamish Al Divrei Hayamim. It's not now. Who put in these parentheses? Who put this in? I don't know who put this in. Did the Gruah put this in, or someone else put this in? He writes, Ein Zeh Perish Rashi, Mamish. So first of all, what does that mean? A little bit of this.
He's happy, he's attacking this Rashi.
It's not really Rashi. But the problem is...
I don't know who this guy is saying is Rashi, but his calculations are all...
Now, there's a lot of problems with saying that, because first of all, in Yecheskel, Rashi came out, we learned that you had the whole caption, the whole Rashi came out, it's the same thing even in more detail. In Yecheskel, it's more detailed than it is in Divrei Hayamim. Because there he actually goes through the 111 years. Here and here, he doesn't go through. He doesn't go anything. Goes through nothing here. He just tells us that there were 390 years, and he does 111 years.
Did Yecheskel say it was against the Shemitahs?
Yes, it says it very clear. Yeah, there it makes the calculation much more greater detail.
This concept we have, when people say the Holocaust because it's to be as a Shemitah, it's an old concept. What? Even Yecheskel and Rashi.
Wow, what did you say? What did you say? What did you say?
The concept that people say, you're getting punished because of. You didn't keep the mitzvah of Shabbos. You didn't keep the mitzvah of Tznius.
Yeah.
So that's why you're getting a terrible punishment. It's a Tekhaka. And so Rashi's saying here, the Shita is also, you're getting terrible punishment because you didn't keep Shemitah.
Rashi is basing, I don't know. We have a Nevuah of Yecheskel, 70 years. We have a Pasuk in the Teicha, Oz. Shav Sa'aret Shav Sa'iseha. Rashi is saying a Chiddush Neira to combine these two psukim together. 70 years of Yirmiyah correspond to the 70 years of what it says in the Torah, and we also combine it with what it says in Yecheskel. In Yecheskel, it's very clear. Hashem says, "Sleep on your left side 390 years. Sleep on your right side for 40. For grant till 430 years. 430 years of sin. It's a very magic potion." Yecheskel, Yirmiyah, the Teichacha, poof. 490, it works out somehow, very 69 in a fraction. We can round it up to make 70 years, figure out the numbers. It comes pretty close. There are a few years that are assumed that are missing, but it's pretty close. Rashi makes his cheshbon. The Gro doesn't like it, and it concludes that it's not Divrei Rashi Mamish. Now that itself is a very unique expression, which seems to indicate that it's partially Rashi. It could very well be that there was some unfinished manuscript that was relayed, that was Rashi, or of an early edition that Rashi put together, and someone came along and embellished it and put together what we have today. That's because not mamish, but a shtickle it is Rashi. And also, you have to take into consideration that Rashi, although he may not have said it here in Divrei Hayom, he did say it in Sefer Yecheskel. So the Gra can't go along and say that the Rashi in Divrei Yecheskel is not the real Rashi. It's not clear if he actually wrote this, who put it in these parentheses, I do not know. Okay, but it's something
if it is Rashi,
not
Rashi, he says, my teacher said so and so.
Rabbeinu Yochar, Meshulam and Yochar, Zatzal, Kach Shamati. Who that person was, he lived in the same time as Rashi, I probably do know. I'm not sure. The truth is, Rashi's, the history of Rashi, we know very little. They make big books, not big books, they make big stories of Maiselach. But what they're working from, everything is conjecture. There's very few things we really know about.
He was a very private man. He had a vineyard.
He had a vineyard. He lived in France. He went to Germany. Whose Rebbeim were? There's this legend about his mother. His mother was almost killed, and she pushed herself into the wall. They claim they know that it's still there. It's a tourist attraction. Is it really true?
It's really there, but the question is when the hell was wrong.
Is it really true? Did it really happen? All these things are very big mysteries. No one really knows. And these little things, you know, these little things are taken and they're used as little tidbits to make books, to make believe that we know the whole story, Rashi. I don't know where he's buried. I don't know. Do we know where Rashi's buried? I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know. Okay, so he lived. I don't know. I didn't look in the Gra.
You can only jump on him here.
Does the Malach give a little insight over that?
No, I don't think so.
That happened during the time. The Hashlomo of the Yogel is during the time of Ezra.
He does. I didn't see Lamalis. What is pasuk hafal? Shaya ech lamalis divrei shahaya.
He has the same problem as everybody, but I didn't really care.
Shlomo shim shon migdol shishon v'chein ha yitzchichim lios oid begolos ad ratz haaretz eshav sezecha v'ze lo nishlam adar yavei shachrayin shnishlam shim shon minachum nabayis. Christ, 18 years. That's two different calculations. There are many layers. In the second Megillah, the Gemara presents a whole different collection of 70 years. There are many different versions of 70 years. Here, we're focusing on two. One is from the time of the Golus of Tzidkiyahu until they actually rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash. That was exactly 70 years. And then we have the other 70 years from the time of the Golus of Yehoyakim for the first time, which was in his fourth year, until the time of Koresh was 70 years. From time of the Churban until Koresh gave permission was 15 years. And going backwards from the time that Yehoyakim was under the authority of Nebuchadnezzar until the Churban was 18 years. So that's 18 plus 52 is 70 years. That's two of many. There are other calculations. And that's what we find that there were people, different Ishi HaTanach, were celebrating. Hashersh made a party. He made a calculation of 70 years. Baal Shetza made a party. He made a calculation. Everyone made different calculations of when the 70 years ended, and they thought now they're home free, they don't have to worry about Klal Yisrael. Okay, but this is something interesting to keep in mind. We have the 70 years, we have what Rashi says, we have the Yecheskel, we have the three parts, the Yirmiyah, Yecheskel, and the Toichacha. We put it together, there is something there to it. We're missing a couple of years, and the Gra rejects it, and the Gra says we have to keep in mind that the Rashi and the Vayom is not the Rashi, it's someone else. Okay, there's a few other things I want to just to bring up before we conclude. Okay, I'm not going to go through the Ralbag. The Ralbag is not so hard. Just he goes through this edition is a little bit hard to read. In my other edition, it's much easier because it breaks up the paragraphs a little bit to Ellis. Well, there are numbers. You know, there are the bracketed numbers. Okay, it's not so hard. He just goes through all different yesodes that we learn from Sefer Divrei Hayamim. Kedarkei, when Ralbach includes a section, he summarizes the section, he extracts what are all of the major yesodes. Okay, but let's just focus on a few short things. Number one, this normally we have a concept that when you finish a Sefer, Hajnalach, you like to go back. Right, you finish a Sefer, and the minig is always to make a drasha to connect the end to the beginning. Simchas Torah, Le'enei Kol Yisrael. What's the next thing you do? Bereishis Baruch Elokim. That's the common derech in making a seam to show that it's a cycle and you can connect the end to the beginning. What's unique about Divrei Hayam is that Bedavka tells you don't go backwards. Divrei Hayam, we learned yesterday, Rashi concludes with the first psukim, the first two psukim of Sefer Ezra Nehemiah. So Rashi told us the pshat, a very simple pshat is that there's a hefsek. The hefsek is Doniel. Doniel is mafsek in between. The narrative continues. The narrative Divrei Hayam is really not to be viewed as one book. Divrei Hayam is to be viewed as continues with Ezra and Nehemiah. It's one continuous story. We did it backwards. We did Ezra and Nehemiah before we did Divrei Hayam. But really, the order goes continues. So in order that in order that you should not make a mistake and be misled because there's a Sefer Doniel. So that is why we insert these two psukim which begin Ezra and Nehemiah to put you in the right frame of mind. That is the derech pshat. What Rashi says. But on a deeper level, Rashi is saying the Divrei Hayom is going out on a limb. It's doing something different. It's telling you that Divrei Hayom is not to be viewed circular. Divrei Hayom is to give you encouragement to go weiter, to go ahead. The purpose of Divrei Hayom is not to look back. Divrei Hayamim was a safer, motivational safer, to give people who in Gungalis the encouragement to forget about the past. And I mean, not Hashem, forget about the past, your legacy, where you come from, but it's don't harp on the past. Put aside all your difficulties and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Go, rebuild, return to Eretz Yisrael and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. If you're going to always look back at the past and the problems and the struggles and the difficulty, you're never going to move forward. And that's a very powerful lesson. That's the entire essence of Divrei Hayamim, and that is emphasized with the end of Divrei Hayamim, different than every other sefer. Don't go backwards, go forwards. Another important idea is there are two different types of gula. There's gula bi'ita and achishena. Where is that pasuk? Bi'ita achishena, that's in Yeshaya. And nihash bi'ita achishena, we say the haftarah on the Shabbos Hagadol. Bi'ita achishena, the gula can come bi'ita if we do not do anything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what? Malachi, I'm sorry, Malachi. Malachi bi'ita achishena, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu guarantees that if we don't do tshuva, it doesn't matter. The time will come at the end of time. We don't know what the end of time is. Hashem guarantees the Ita Mashiach will come. We think we know. We think we have a tradition of 6,000 years. I heard a Reisman, he gave a beautiful shiur. He said that don't get too hooked up on the number 6,000. He spent an hour going through 10 times in history where major segments of Klal Yisrael made calculations based upon a tradition of when something's supposed to happen. And when it did not happen, it led to a major korban. For example, Shevet Ephraim in Mitzrayim, they made a calculation that the Gula is supposed to come Av Meyoshana, Ger Yezerecha Be'eretz Elohem Ve'avod Levinush Av Meyoshana. They made a calculation 30 years before Yitzias Mitzrayim that it's time to come, and therefore they're going to be successful, and they went out with force. They picked themselves up, and what happened? They were slaughtered. There was a major, a significant, a whole Shevet that was come out, wiped out. It's in the Midrashim.
It's
just one example.
Eight
families of Shevet Ephraim, and that is one example. There are many examples.
Well, that's what it says.
Okay. They didn't have to go through the Midbar
because they didn't get the. They promised God. Promised them all going to go out.
Okay, so there are other, he went through, I don't remember the details, but there are many, I think he gave 10 examples in Tanakh, in history, Jewish history, where people made calculations, and the calculations led to a terrible catastrophe. So he basically was saying, his message at the end of the shiur was very powerful. He says, everyone here is brought up with this tradition that Mashiach has to come by the year 6000. We don't know what the number 6,000 means. We think we're living hell off from Tafshin Ayin Dalet. We think we know we're holding in the calculation. First, we don't even know if that the number is correct. On Aksub, we write Minyan Sha'anu Moinun Khan in Brooklyn, New York. In Brooklyn, New York, we think we know it's hell off from Tafshin Ayin Dalet. But it can very well be it's not the right number. Maybe we're off by one. Maybe we're off by who knows. Or maybe when Chazal said 6,000, 6,000 means something that we're not really, we don't know what it means. So let's say Chas V'Shalom in 200 whatever years reach 1,000 and Mashiach is in here. So what does that mean? That means that's going to be a challenge to a person's emunah. Chas V'Shalom, because we have to have emunah Ani ma'am fulamuna Mashiach should come today. Halavai should come today, and it will come. We have Mu'un will come way before that, but we shouldn't get too hooked. We shouldn't focus on numbers. But what does the Chazal tell us? That's not what the point I want to make. Is what does Chazal? The Chazal tells us that there is a time, whenever that time is, when Mashiach will come, whether we are deserving or not. This is the guarantee HaKadosh Baruch Hu made with the Nevi'im. It's going to happen. And then there's another concept, Achishena, that if we merit, if we do true, we come together, all these Namori Chazal, we can bring Mashiach, then Mashiach will come before its predestined time. The difference between the Sefer Melachim, or the Sefer Nevi'im, that go through the entire history, the whole course of history through the prophets, and Sefer Divrei Hayam, is Divrei Hayam represents Be'ita. The Geula is going to come no matter what. Sefer Melachim, it's Achishena, will come before its time. Now, what are we saying that? Because Divrei Hayam ends off on a very sudden note. There's no mention of any tshuva. They're golos. What happens? The pasuk is very, very, very quick. There's a terrible churban. The people are mocking the Nevi'im. They're making litzanis. They're telling the Nevi'im, you think we're making mistakes. You're making bigger mistakes. And then Hashem sends Nebuchadnezzar. He destroys the Beis HaMikdash. He destroys the Kelim. He takes everyone captive. And then, so then you would expect. And Klal Yisrael do tshuva. The Choyzer b'tshuva. They fast. That's what the whole theme of all the Nevi'im. Yeshai and all the Nevi'im. And even Sefer Melachim. You find the Nevi'im giving Musa and people doing tshuva. And the cycles going back and forth. No. There's no mention here at the end of Divrei Hayam of one iota of tshuva. There is Churban, there is Galus, and then there is an announcement. Koresh says, the Jews, go back home to your land, Mashiach is here. Mashiach is here. In the end of in Melachim, there's a lot more to the story. The Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. And there are holdouts in Yerushalayim. And there's Gedaliah ben Achikam. And then there's a Yirmiyah. And there's a Yecheskel. And there's still Musar. And there's still hope. And there's still activity. And there's still tshuva. And there's still things happening. Sefer Melachim represents the theme that Geula will come with tshuva. By doing tshuva. Through the Nevi'im. Through the leaders. Divrei Hayam ends. Geula is going to come. There's no mention of tshuva. It's just going to happen. Koresh is going to make an announcement. You're going to turn on the radio, you go online, and there's a banner, and there's an announcement. Mashiach is here. That's the chilik between the two books. Be'ita Achishena. The focus of Nevi'im, the story of history, is don't wait. Bring Mashiach. Achishena. Listen to the Nevi'im. Work on yourselves. The focus of Divrei Hayam is a guarantee, a blueprint in the world. Even if you do nothing, do not worry. Be'ita Mashiach will come. Okay, that's one important idea to make mention. Another idea is, let's focus, this is an idea, a beautiful idea. I saw this, the Das Sofer, he mentioned this in the Hagdama. I want to elaborate upon what he says in a little bit different way. But we know that we learn Chumash, there are Chamishe Chumshe Torah. And then there are four books: Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Midbar. And then we have Mishneh Torah. What's Mishneh Torah? It's a chazara. It's a summary. It's not a complete summary. We don't go through Ma'aseh Bereishis. We don't go through the others. But pretty much all the mitzvot are reviewed once again by Moshe Rabbeinu. So the question is, why does Moshe Rabbeinu have to review the entire Torah when we already have the first four books? So there are many mahalchim. But the basic idea is there has to be two perspectives. There is the perspective of Torah given from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then there is the perspective of Torah from the Mekabel. Moshe Rabbeinu was Mekabel the Torah on behalf of Klal Yisrael from his perspective. That's one approach. There's the perspective of the Noisin HaTorah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then there's the Chazara, the Mishnah, from the perspective of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Mekabel HaTorah. Or, if you want to say, there's another very popular approach to explain why we have Mishneh Torah, and that focuses on things that appear only in Mishneh Torah and do not appear in the first four books. For example, divorce. A very classic example. Divorce. There's no mention of divorce in the first four books of the Torah. The mitzvah of Sefer Krisus, the Shulchan Mibeso, is only found in Sefer Dvarim. Yibum. the mitzvah, now you do have a reference to Yibum in Bereishis, okay, but that, with Yehud and Tamar, but the mitzvah of Yibum as a mitzvah from the Tayag mitzvahs only appears in Sefer. And Sefer Devarim does not appear in the first four books. Why? What's the difference? So these two are just two of many examples. The Sefer Devarim is a Sefer of what's not ideal. The first four books is the idealistic approach to Torah, a perfect world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire to create a perfect world. In a perfect world, there's no such thing as divorce. There's peace. A man meets his bashert, lo toif hayos adam levado, right? There's no such thing, there'll never be a fight, ad kadei kach, where a person will separate from his zivug. It's not going to happen. Yibum, a person is going to leave this world without children, and you need someone to come in and establish to rebuild his bias. That's a tragedy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not create a world to have tragedies. Hashem made a world with the kavana that everything should be good, fine, and well. Unfortunately, man failed to meet the challenge. Man sinned. Chet Eitz Hadas, Mechilas Yosef, Chet Egel. We are not perfect creatures, and we need to supplement our. We need to plug the holes. So Sefer Devarim is the Torah. It's a review of the entire Torah, filling in the holes due to man's failures in reaching what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. Okay, so these are giving you two different approaches. It's the Torah of Galus, how to deal with the world, how to fulfill the Torah in a world of Galus. Whereas the first four books, the first time the Torah is presented, it's the ideal world. Now, the Das Seifrim wrote a parish in the 20th century. Okay, he wrote it his entire life. I think he writes there, he started in 1939, he began writing in Bereishis. I think he finished in the 80s, he finished his Perush HaTanach, so he writes there that's really what Divrei Hayamim is. Divrei Hayamim is basically the Mishneh Torah of the Nevi'im. Just like Chumash Devarim is the Mishneh Torah for the first four books of the Torah, it's not a summary, it's a perspective of dealing with what's not ideal, with galus. I don't have the right words. Just like Sefer Devarim is a different perspective on the first four books of the Torah, you need the same thing with regard to Nevi'im. We have Nevi'im. Nevi'im is the story of the Shoftim and the story of the Nevi'im and the Malachim. You go through this entire period. So Divrei Hayamim is the Mishneh Torah for the Nevi'im. For pretty much all the Nevi'im. It's a whole different perspective which gives us a way to deal with, we review the stories and take from it things which, when we recognize that we have failed in achieving the standards of the Nevi'im on the highest level, we can still glean things on our level that are practical for us on a lower level. Now, I just want to take that idea and just say it a little bit differently. Who was Moshe? Moshe was the Av HaNevi'im. Right? It's one of the animamim. And first we have an animamim that all the words of Navi are emes. And then we have an animamim that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Av HaNevi'im. You take that idea forward, there are three levels. There is Torah, the first four books of the Torah. That is Hashem, that is perfection. Then there is Moshe. Moshe is the Av HaNevi'im. And then there is Divrei Hayamim. Divrei Hayamim is not Nevuah, it's Ruach HaKodesh. It is the third in the series. We go down three levels. Because what is Divrei Hayam? It's a review of the Nevi'im. We're not focusing so much on Moshe. We're focusing on the Nevi'im. But Mishneh Torah is all about Moshe. And Moshe was the Av HaNevi'im. Now maybe to explain this a little better, let's go back to the first pasuk in Divrei Hayam. First pasuk begins, Adam, Sheis, Enosh. What do those three represent? So the Gra says, this is the first Gra in Sefer Devarim, Adam is the perfection. It's the perfect man. The Yitzir Kap of Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What comes next? Sheis. What is Sheis? Sheis is Adam's son. After Cain killed Hevel, Ki Shosli Elokim Zera Acher Tachas Hevel Ki Harogo Cain. Sheis represents the second level. He is, Adam has failed. Adam brought into this world Cain and Hevel. Cain and Hevel failed. So the next best thing is Sheis. Ki Shosli Elokim Zera Acher Tachas Hevel Ki Harogo Cain. Then what comes after Sheis? It's the third generation, Enosh. What was Enosh? Ki oz huchal likro b'shem Hashem. Three different levels. The perfection of man, the second level, which was not so bad, Sheis, and then the third level, Enosh, was weaker. Those three levels are the three levels of the first four books of Torah. The first four books of Torah correspond to Adam. Mishneh Torah corresponds to Sheis. That's the next, that's the recipient, the next level. And Divrei Hayamim, which is the Chazar, is now Enosh. There's a parallel, there's a trial that goes throughout the entire history. Adam, the concept of perfection, the middle, Sheis, and then Enosh, it's the first four books of the Torah, then it's Mishneh Torah, and then it's Divrei Hayamim. Each one is giving us a different perspective on our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, now let me go to another idea. We mentioned before that Divrei Hayam is Chazara of Sifrei Nevi'im, and the most fundamental difference between Nevuah and Kisei Kodesh is Nevuah was meant to be written, meant to be said, to be communicated with orally, and Divrei Hayam was meant to be written. It was inspired as a book. It was never actually said to anyone. It was just a recording to be studied. What is the difference between Nevuah and Ksiva? The difference is Re'iyah and Shemiyah. Okay, so let me throw out a Maamar Chazal. B'chol ha'am u'pasik l'tar u'royim es ha'koylos. The Matan Torah, there's Re'iyah and there's Shemiyah. By Matan Torah, each one has a Maila. You see something? Seeing something is worth 1,000 words. But there's a chasaron in Ria. When you see something, it's not a communication. It's, if you want to accept it, you accept it. You don't want to accept it, you don't accept it. Shemiyah, when you listen, when someone speaks to you, there is a direct communication. There is a connection. I'm speaking to you, I'm relaying something to you, I'm connecting you to me through my words, through my instruction. Whenever there's a conversation, there's a connection. When you come to see someone, there's no relationship. I'm standing here, I'm watching. I'm an observer. You're not a participant. So each one has a maila and a chasara. There's no greater thing than ri'iyah. Ri'iyah is seeing something that's worth 1,000 words. But ri'iyah lacks participation. You are an observer. Shmiyah is a participation. We need two different records of history. We need the record of history through the Nevi'im, and we need the record of history through Ksuvim. Why? We have to absorb the history through the Koyachov, the Chol Ha'am Royim Es HaKoylos. When you read a book, what are you doing? It's Begeder Re'iyah. Because when you put something in writing and you read something, how are you absorbing the material? By looking at the letters. I have a description, something that's being described, an event that occurred. It's put down on paper. I read what it says. Now you can need 1,000 words. Okay, granted, you can need 1,000 words to get the picture, but reading a book is in the category of re'iyah because it's written. Nevuah is not re'iyah. Nevuah is Shmiyah. The Navi spoke to Klal Yisrael and people listened. If we only had history from the perspective of the Nevi'im, that would be Royim. We observed history. In order, that would only be Shmiyah. That would only be Begeder Shmiyah. It's lack in Shmiyah, there's a participation, but you don't see the full picture. Ksuvim adds another dimension by giving us background information that does not appear. We learn many times the many, many discrepancies. We just barely touch the surface of the discrepancies between the Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Hundreds of discrepancies. Every little nuance is a whole different world. All those discrepancies are in the category of trying to paint a picture for us. And that picture, in many ways, is much greater than someone speaking to you. Because when someone is speaking to you, they're communicating with you something very specific. You're missing the big picture. So we need the big picture. That's ksuvim. But ksuvim is not a... we're not participating in ksuvim. We're just observing. That's why we need nevi'im. Combining nevi'im with ksuvim represents the concept of v'chol ha'om, Royim es hakolos. We bring together the milos of both Re'ia and Shemiah. Okay, that's one idea. Okay, another idea is this we worth discussing. Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz, they call him this. Rabbi Eisenman, he writes this. He develops this very beautifully in the beginning of the Hakdama to Zevi Dibur Hayamim. Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz says that Daniel was not allowed to, that Yonasan ben Uziel was not permitted to write Targum on Ksuvim. Why? Because in Sefer Daniel is a pasuk that talks about Mashiach, the Zman of Mashiach, and if he would have translated that, he would have revealed to the world the Zman of Mashiach. So the Maral asks, the question, so just don't write that pasuk. We have to lose out an entire Yonasan ben Uziel on all of Ksuvim, on all of Daniel, besides that pasuk, and Divrei Hayam and Ezra Nehemiah and Mishlei and Tehillim, just because the answer is that pasuk where it reveals the coming of Mashiach is not just an isolated pasuk; it's a theme that is true for the entire. All of Ksuvim. The entire Divrei Hayam, Ezra, Nehemiah, Daniel, from beginning to end, are all codes. It's all the plan, the revelation of the coming of Mashiach. It's not just history. In the history, history repeats itself, the cycles repeat itself, the Kates HaMashiach is all over. Every single pasuk in Divrei Hayamim is part of the Kates HaMashiach. If there would have been Targum on any pasuk of Divrei Hayamim, that would have revealed an aspect of the Kates HaMashiach. And that one pasuk is just a mashal for the entire. So we're learning Divrei Hayamim, we're really learning deep the depth, what's behind the Divrei Hayamim is really a revelation of the Kates HaMashiach. Okay.
When he wrote the Perush on Ksuvim, it's Nazeh Kolo Vukulo, right? That's the Lashon.
Right.
So it doesn't specify that Pasuk. The Gemara gets into why maybe that Pasuk, but...
The entire Ksuvim is all a blueprint for the Kates HaMashiach. Absolutely. Okay, another very important idea. Let me actually read a few. He has it in the Hagdama. Is there is a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara says, let's see if I could find it. I know he quotes it here somewhere. Give me one second. Okay, here it is. The Gemara appears in, where is the Talmud? Kiddushin. Okay, Kiddushin daf lamid amid aleph. Turn abanan. Chamesh salafim. Shmoyne meos. Ushmoyne mushmoyna. Psukim havei psukei sefer Torah. In the Sefer Torah, there are 5,888 psukim. Yeser Allah Tehillim Shmoina. Tehillim has 8 psukim more. So that would be 5,896. Chosem imenu Divrei Hayamim Shmoina. Divrei Hayamim has 8 less. 5,880. Okay, that's what it says in the Gemara in Masechta Kedushin. Sefer Torah, open up a Sefer Torah, count the psukim. We have the Baal Kari here. 5,888 psukim. Tehillim has 8 more. Divrei Hayam, 8 less. Now, there's an obvious question, because everyone here knows that the Sefer Torah only has 5,845. Okay, so we're off. And by the way, Tehillim has only 2,527. So we got a problem. And Divrei Hayam only has 1,656. So even though the Gra says that when it says here in the Gemara, the Gra comes to the rescue, grows into numbers, that when it says in the Gemara, Divrei Hayam, it doesn't mean Divrei, it means Divrei Hayam and O'Neill. So that solves the problem. It doesn't solve the problem because even with the Neil only has 357. So 357 plus 1,656 does not exactly add up to 5,880. Okay, that's not the point. So what it means is a very big mystery. There are probably some people which have solutions to this mathematical mystery, whatever it is. But still, what is the deeper meaning? What is the theme of this Maamar Chazal? This Maamar Chazal is doing something that is fascinating. It's taking three books. There are 24 books in Tanakh. There are 24 books. And from the 24 books, we're taking seven of them. Okay, the Chamish Shechum Shetara. And we're calling that one book, and then we're taking two other books, and we're comparing them one to the other. That's very weird. It's very weird for Chazal to compare books to each other. Let's first focus on Tehillim and Divrei Hayam. What do they have in common? So they have something very. They do have something very much in common. They're both all about David HaMelech. Mm-hmm. Tehillim represents the Shleimus of David HaMelech. David HaMelech praises, he gives Hashem all he got. This is the best of David HaMelech, his David HaMelech's life experience. Shevach v'hoida halal v'sishpocha yistra kodesh baruch, his neshama, the neshama of David HaMelech is Tehillim. What is Divrei Hayamim? So we learned Rashi said at least 100 times that the entire purpose of Divrei Hayamim is to be miyaches David HaMelech. We start with Adam, and we trace the lineage of Adam until we finally come to David. Oh, now that we find David, we go to town. Everything else falls to the side. We don't pay much attention to Shaul, and we don't pay much attention to all of David's other enemies. We focus on David, and we don't focus on the Malchei Yisrael, compared to Sefer Melachim. We give a lot of attention to the Malchei Yisrael. We give very little attention to the Malchei Yisrael in Sefer Devarim. We only focus on David's descendants all the way to the end of the Sefer, when Koresh says, come back, because Zerubbabel is going to return and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. It's all about the Yichus of David HaMelech. Rashi made this point many, many times. What do Chazal do in Masechet Kedushin? They take these two Sfarim, which have in common David, Tehillim on one side, and Divrei Hayamim, the Yichus of David, on the other side, and in between they have the Torah. And what the Chazal is basically telling us is that the Torah is the Briya HaTichon of what takes David from his Shoresh, from his Yichus, from his roots, to where he will be, to his shleimus of Tehillim, which Tehillim concludes with the praise that Klal Yisrael, the halalukas that we say every day in davening, the halalukas that we say in davening is the end of Tehillim. Those are the halalukas all referred to Yimos HaMashiach. Those are praise that we'll say when Mashiach comes. Torah is the Briya HaTichon that takes David from his shoresh, from his root of Adam, Sheitz ve'enosh. We know that Adam gave up 70 years of his life. After Adam sinned, he gave 70 years of his life to David. It takes David through the history, to his development, until where it comes to Koresh, the time has come, Koresh has made an announcement, which alludes to Yimos HaMashiach, return, build the Beis HaMikdash, to project him, to push him, to launch him into Tehillim, which concludes with the Shirois v'Sishpachos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the times of Mashiach and Olam Haba. The Torah is that catalyst that can go from the root to where he's supposed to be. And how do we go in the different steps? We go through steps of eight. The difference between Divrei Hayam and the Torah is eight, and the difference between Torah and Tehillim is another eight. Why the number eight? Eight represents a cycle. We learned the Aleph Beis, we discussed what is the significance of the letter Ches. How do you write a letter Ches in the Sefer Torah? Ksav Beis Yosef. Ksav, it's two Zions. What is a Ches? So a Ches, you ask the average person, what does Ches mean to you? It means L'mala Midera Chateva. Chanukah. Chanukah is Ches because Chanukah, the Ner Shemen lasted more than what was normal. Mal Ner Chatev. That's absolutely true. But Ches also represents the concept of a cycle. What is the eighth day of the week? What's the eighth day of the week? We discussed that once at great length. The eighth day of the week is Sunday. After seven comes eight. Eight goes back to the very beginning. It's a chazar, chazar chalila. It's a circle. That's why a ches and a sefer Torah are two zions with a bridge. Because number eight is the number which allows you to go in cycles, takes you back to the very beginning. Birth and redemption goes in cycles. David is divrei hayam, starts with Adam. David develops. And David's goal is to ultimately develop into the time David's shleimus comes in times of Mashiach Olam Haba with his shiurus v'shishpachos in Tehillim. That comes through cycles of time. Cycles, tkufas of time of going up, coming down, successes, failures. History is cycles of eight. And the chut, the Bria Chatichon, which gets us to all of these cycles to ultimately reach our destination, the ultimate cycle of coming to Olam Haba Yimos HaMashiach through Shios V'Shishpochos, is the Torah. Is the Torah which is the Bria Chatichon. So even though the numbers here don't necessarily add up, but there's a very deep message in taking these three books together. The common denominator of the two books clearly is David. Divrei Hayamim is the Yichus of David from the beginning of time until the Yimos HaMashiach. Tehillim is David's expression of praise to Hashem at the time of Mashiach, really throughout the entire history of the world. And the middle that bridges the two together is Chamishei Chumshei Torah. And it is all connected in multiple cycles of eight, which represents the Derech HaOlam of going from one place to another place. One dimension to another dimension. Okay, another short idea that the Divrei Hayam begins with a large Aleph, whereas Torah begins with a base, a large base, as if to say, Soif Maisa Lemachshava Techila. Divrei Hayam concludes with Mashiach. It's the Kates. It's the history of the world, which ultimately leads to Koresh makes the announcement, Mashiach is here. Go back. Build the Beis Hamikdash. Koresh really represents the coming of Mashiach. That was meant to be the coming of Mashiach. The Achres Hayam. No tshuva at the end. It's Beita. Goes all the way to the very end. From the Adam, the beginning of time. Koresh is no tshuva at the end of time. The whole history of time. This is the goal, the destination. That's why there's a large Aleph. The Torah is the tool to get from the beginning to the end. So the fact that the Torah has a base and Divrei Hayam has an Aleph, Aleph Bina. Aleph Bina, the two have to be studied together. The two of them are connected together. Okay, let me see if there's anything else I wanted to mention. I think pretty much... Okay, one last Maimon Chazal. Okay, no, two more little short things. One thing I came across, I found this to be very nice, is that we know we say in Tehillim, we say on the Yom Noraim, and we say on Slichos, the Tainus, Avinu Malkeinu. There are two ways we can relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Midin Avinu, and Midin Malkeinu. Each one has a Maila. A father... You have access, right? A father, whatever you want, the father will give you. You have a very strong relationship. However, most children don't spend the whole day around their father. Most children make a life for themselves. They're not in the presence of the father. They don't know all the details. If you want to know all the father's details, you got to ask the father's secretary. You got to ask his servants. The avodim, they hang out in the palace. They hang out and they're privy to every single detail of the life of the king. But the children have shlit, they have power. When we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avinu Malkeinu, we come to Him both through Koyach HaTorah, we have knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and through our relationship, Bonim Atem LaShem Elokeichem, we're also Bonim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have both. The difference between Ksuvim and Nevi'im is the difference between Avinu Malkeinu. In Ksuvim, Suvim relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Malkeinu. That's what, because Ksuvim, we present all of the details, the fine points, the details. It's not the same Kedusha, not the same Madrega. Neviim, Sifrei Neviim is Begeder Avinu. The combination of bringing together, studying history from the perspective of the Neviim, and studying history from the perspective of Ksuvim, of Divrei Hayamim, gives us a perspective of, when we come to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we come to relate to world history, we have the perspective of Avinu Malkeinu. Neviim is Avinu, Ksuvim is Malkeinu. Ksuvim, we have a lot of details, a lot of background details in Ksuvim. That's Malkeinu. But that doesn't give us the close relationship. The close relationship we only gain through the Koyach of the Neviim, who are the intermediaries. That is Sifrei Neviim. So it's a dual relationship. The end, the one, there's a very beautiful Medrash. The Medrash says that Lo Nitan Divrei Hayom Ela Lidoresh. And the Gemara says, Miyoim Shenigna Sefer Yuchsin. There used to be a Sefer Yuchsin, a Medrash, a Brisos, that was enormous. The Darshan, every single Ois and Tag, and the difference why, we remember the first 9 talking all about Yichus, why we refer to people by different names. Every person has 3 names. The name that Hashem, the name that your parents give you, the name that people call you by, the name that you make for yourself. And we have all that reference, all the different ways of describing people. And there used to be Sfarim Brisos that was elaborated in an enormous detail on the significance of what there is to learn from Divrei Hayamim. But for some reason, all of this was put in Geniza. We no longer have access. And it says, Miyoim Shenigna Sefer Yuchasin, Toshash Koichon Shel Chachamim, V'cheihon Me'orei Nehem. The Koyach of Talmidei Chacham was weakened, and their eyes were dimmed. So we can definitely say that by learning Divrei Hayam the Iyun, there's no question, everyone is zeichet to a bracha that their koyach has been strengthened and their eyes have been enlightened. Because if this is Zelu Mazeh, we spent Baruch Hashem, we spent quite a number of days learning Divrei Hayamim, and that should be the bracha. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tach give the Olam extra special koyach and enlighten everyone's eyes to correspond to the fact that the taking a Sefer Yuchasin out of Geniza through the enormous study that we have put into it. Okay, so with that we'll conclude. Tam v'nishlam shvach lekel b'yrei olam.